Okay, we're going live, and this Hangout on Air is live. That's what I'm reading from my screen. Hi, everyone. I'm Vance Stevens in Al Ain, United Arab Emirates, and this is a Learning Together session. We're at learningtogether.net, with a 2 in the middle of Learning Together, a number 2. And this is the 12th of October, 2015. And we're very pleased to have with us here Dr. Crystal Brody, who's going to talk to us about using Google tools for language learning in K to 20 environment. So that's just about everybody. We've also got Benjamin Stewart here in the Hangout. We've got Elizabeth Ann from Grenoble, and we've got Glennis Hansen. I can't remember exactly where you're from. You can tell us in a moment if you like. And Halima Ozimova from Tashkent. And I'm sitting in the Hangout as well with Crystal's slides queued. So would anybody like to say hi before we begin? Get some voices in the text chat. Welcome to unmute and say hi.
Yes, hi. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Halima.
Hello to all. Crystal, how are you?
Hi, I just had muted myself, but hello, it's so nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. Crystal, I will post a link. I was wondering how Neri Muller is using this Google Plus application for long live trainings. And I would like to create like this, but I have problems. If I post the link, would you explain this, okay? I seen your slides, wonderful. I am a Google lover too, but I must be much more educated. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Halima. Yeah. And Glennis has just reminded me, she's from France, a couple of hundred kilometers from Grenoble, as I remember, I recall it now. Okay, would anybody else like to say hi before we get started?
I just want to say hi to Glennis. Oh, Glennis cannot speak because she's muted.
Glennis, you have to move your cursor up to the top. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's a tricky one to unmute yourself and talk when you get the lip sync in motion. Okay, well, Crystal, you might as well get started. I'll put your slides up. Let me see what I'll do that. Okay, so like this. There we go. So, welcoming Crystal Brody to talk to us about improving language learning and teaching by using free Google tools in K-12.
I don't think I can see my slides.
Oh, you can't see them Oh, you have to click on the icon. Yeah, that's right. What I've done is I've put them in the recording, but anybody who wants to see your slides has to click on the icon, second icon. Yeah, and when you click on it, it will go up on your screen. You have to click on the icon again to get it down again.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Vance, for making this learning event possible, putting us all together all across the world, it seems like. And thank you for all of you coming here. Let me give you a little bit of the bias and background to framing my presentation here. I am a multilingual person myself, and I learned language at a time before technology was available, except for a little transistor radio that I used to learn English under my bed sheets when my parents thought I was sleeping. It was the low-tech technology application at that time, but I think using technology is the most wonderful tool to bring language into the classroom for our children or adult learners. It doesn't matter which age. I'm now actually living in an English-speaking country and working here, and I ever so more believe that we can achieve so much understanding across the whole world by learning languages, learning about each other, learning with each other like we do today here. And so I'm really invested in this topic. My other bias is that I am a trainer of teachers, former teacher of children in America, originally from Germany, but I'm a teacher in heart, and I teach college people now to work with K through 12 students in schools. So I'm coming from the teacher training and teacher perspective, and also from the perspective that I believe that with technology in your classroom, we can remove barriers to learning for our children, because all children learn at different, but all learners learn at different rates and have different needs and what makes them be more successful. And I believe that technology can close that gap to remove barriers to learning. And that's kind of what I wanted to say first to frame my presentation. You may see that theme of removing barriers coming up frequently. Also, removing barriers for teachers, too, you know, in making it easier for you, teachers, to teach. So if you go to next, please. Next slide. Or can I move my slides? No. Okay. So in this presentation, as a roadmap, I wanted to talk about Google tools in general that enhance learning and teaching in English learning contexts. And these tools should be working from young to adult learners, and they should be applicable for your work right away. Next. So how can we use technology overall, and how do we use technologies in ELT contexts? We can use it and do use it for lesson planning, for creations of forms, such as surveys. We use it for cloud storage, for reading activities, for academic writing, for enhancing meaning and comprehension to student to learners, for drilling exercises, for listening activities, for application of concepts overall, for cultural learning, and for collaboration for learners and teachers alike. Next. So, everybody can extend the classroom into the cloud. And using Google Classrooms, you can get this tool in 40 languages, and you can also use it with totally novice English learners to give them instructions in their own language to learn English. So this is going to be available for every teacher in 40 languages. Okay, next. Just very recently, Google has expanded their Google Classroom to over 40 languages, and they have an app here, and you're going to be able to access this invitation afterwards, and you can click all these links. I put all these links in there, so you can try these out at home and try how this works and do your own spend your own time as long as it takes you to learn it, you know, in doing this. But you have all the links compiled in this presentation. There's also a great YouTube presentation on this that you can watch. And my mantra is always, if you don't know how to do something, go to YouTube and you'll find how it works. Next. So, creating forms. I absolutely love creating forms in Google. You can find a little demo by a Google template example here that I give you in the link. How can you use forms in Google? First of all, you can do student can do reports on it. You can do pretend Facebook pages on there, you can do newsletters on there, you can do grade reports on there, you can do your syllabi in there, you can do charts and spreadsheets, you can do lesson planners, project trackers, class notes, you can make rubrics for grading, whatever you want to do. I mean, forms give you all these tools for free, and they're going to be on your cloud, so you don't have to download them to your actual PC or your handheld device, but you can keep it in the cloud and access it from anywhere you are. and share it with students and colleagues. Next.
Okay. Let's see, am I talking? Yes, I am. Okay. I just wanted to say a couple of things. One is, anybody still having trouble getting the slides on the screen in the Hangout, you have to click on the slides icon. It will get big. And then if you want to reduce it, click on the slides icon again. And we have a couple of other things I'd like to say is that Maha, I think, is now with us in the Hangout. She's been bouncing in and out, and when she's not here, she's following us in the stream, and she's interacting in the text chat at chatwing.com/BANCESTEV. And Jim Buckingham has apparently joined us. And there's Jim. So hi, Jim. Want to say hi real quick? Oh, he's popped out too. Okay. All right. Anyway, go ahead, Crystal. Let me give you your next slide here.
Okay. So my recommendation is, before you plan anything, lesson or any activity, just consider really quick which Google tools may help you to learn, may help your students to learn, or may help you to do your job more organized and remove barriers. Now, I still became a teacher at the time when I had huge file cabinets full of materials from the other language area with menus and museum things and posters and everything, and I treasured them. They were like my treasure chest, you know, that I pulled out whenever I was teaching something. Today, this material have it much more organized and add activities to the classroom that interface those materials with real life contemporary examples. And so we can put links from our Google tools into, for example, museums or restaurants or shopping places that we add to our lesson plans and our materials that we have previously already prepared. And it makes it so much more entertaining for kids to see the real life application of materials. So can you go one more, please? So I don't know, it seems to me that many of the people here are already very versed in technology, but some people don't know that you can make forms in Google look very different, that you just don't always have to make them look white like the background of a PowerPoint is here. You know, there are instructions that I put out here, how to add themes and backgrounds to your forms, to make them more fitting for your purpose, because we know that when we teach language, that the more cues we can give our users and learners, the better for them to anchor it in their brain for their learning. So use themes and backgrounds that fit your learning purpose, and there's a wide variety of themes and backgrounds available, and you'll find instructions here. Next. Many people have to use PDFs for their workplaces, or they prefer to do PDFs for their own personal purposes. There's also some accessibility issue that PDFs sometimes are very useful for people with accessibility needs. So, you know, you can create those in Google also, I gave you a link here that you can access later to see how to do that. Okay?
Okay. I've put the link to the slides, which will be live. The links will be live, and that is both in the Hangout text chat and also in the chat wing. So right now I think only Maha is following us, and Jim has scrambled back in. Hi, Jim.
Hi,
Jim.
Are
you here with us? Jim's a frequent contributor to Learning Together. He might not be on his VPN, but anyway. Okay, let's continue. This is the next slide, right?
Mm-hmm. So there's another tutorial for using Google Forms for anybody who wants to mess around with it a little bit more to learn how to use them, and we can go to the next slide. So a lot of people don't know that you can also password Google Documents, and there's a short video here that I posted on how to do that. I let you watch these videos and materials at your own time if you're interested in them, but I just want to mention that I have it on you. Next one. Next slide, please. Okay. Here's one thing that many people also don't... Sorry, I have a fire truck going out here on my window. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was Brian who's joined us, and I just muted him, so it should be okay now.
Okay. So many people don't know that, you know, it may be a really good idea to back up the Google Drive and, you know, make sure that nothing can happen to it. And I think that not too long ago, Google had a major outage that was caused by a lightning strike, and actually there was a lot of data that could not be retrieved, and that was a real shock to me because I always thought the cloud was totally safe from any erasement, but apparently that was not the case. And so I need to myself be a little bit more diligent too, but I put some sources here that can be used for backing up the Google Drive. So I hope this is useful for you. It doesn't hurt to even back that up too. Next, please. Okay. So almost every semester I go over and over and over with my students about not storing their materials on flash drives or external hard drives only, but also go make a cloud copy. And evidently, it's very easy to do that in the cloud drive, on Google Drive, but many people just don't think about it. They still think the data is safe on the device that they actually own. And I think that really people need to change their approach to data and think about, especially when it comes to lesson plans and so forth, to double and triple back them up. I had a colleague at my workplace who had saved 27 years of work as a scientist, all their lesson plans, all their worksheets, all the labs, everything on her computer, and she got a new computer at work, and she asked the IT people first to please back everything up so she had no problem maintaining her knowledge base. And of course, something happened, and they didn't back it up, and she lost everything. And I was just shocked that she hadn't backed up her materials. So this still happened. So here's one resource to learn how to back up. I'm sure everybody in the room here will do that anyway. But for anybody listening to it later, here's the link. Next, please.
Yeah, there are two kinds of computer users: those who have lost data, and those who will. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's a very, very telling. I will use that with my students starting tomorrow. So another thing that many people don't know is that they can use Google Drive offline too. There's a very simple guide here with step-by-step instructions on how to do it. I hope this is useful for one person only, then the purpose is served. This is especially good for countries where the internet is not reliable and when we don't have control over it. So this may actually be a good alternative for them. Next.
Yeah, I really love the synchronization, because I can take my computer, say, in my car, and without setting up a hotspot, I can drive somewhere, and when I reach my destination, everything synchronizes. I can work. Mm-hmm. Obviously, well, not while I'm driving, someone else is driving. But anyway, yeah, that's a lovely feature. When you're going on a plane, you can leave the airport and, you know, you have all your work that you were just working on, and it keeps, you keep working, you reach your destination, and it synchronizes.
Well, I I cannot really imagine that you do not work on your computer when you're even driving, because you're such a computer person. I'm kidding. So it seems you're on the computer all the time. So sharing docs with students, I have so many teachers that told me that they would not use Google Doc sharing it with students or their colleagues, because they think once they got into one document, they can access everything. Have you had that before too, Vance? People saying that?
So, saying what? I was just answering this question.
If they share one document on Google Drive with somebody, that person can get into all their stuff.
Oh, you know, in my long experience, it's a paranoia of people I work with, you know, the administrators. They think that if you put it on Google Drive, that it will compromise security. You put people's grades there, things like that. I've never had any problem. Plus, if you keep them in a spreadsheet on your computer, that spreadsheet can get corrupted.
Oh, yeah.
If someone comes along and corrupts Google Drive for whatever reason, usually it's by accident, you can just revert back a few users, find the data that you need to restore, and stick it back in there. And it's just an excellent way to work.
I know, but so many people are afraid that if they share something with others, that, like you said, you know, it puts them at risk. And, I would always encourage everybody to get over that fear. You know, just giving access to one document doesn't mean anything about your rest of your data. But anyway, why should we share documents with students in our language programs? One of them is, and this goes back to my initial point of removing barriers to learning, sharing class assignments. Sometimes it's good to share stuff with students before they come to class, for the simple reason that they need more time to process. And you know, they can get prepared for it, and they can get ready for it, and maybe get additional accessibility tools so they have an easier time in class. And of course, we call this a flipped classroom in some way, you know, but it's a really useful way of enhancing students' accessibility to content. Any class announcement could be put on Google Drive, of course, so that it can be shared with families also. Any reading materials can be shared on Google Drive, so students can manipulate it at home and work with it as long as it takes them. Not just at home, in the class too, but it extends outside of the classroom if they need more time to interact with it. And any resources related to what they are studying, it's always great to have additional resources there that students can browse around at their own time, and puts a little bit more independence and constructivism into their learning. Any videos, tutorials, and such can be added there, vocabulary lists, definitions, for little learners, picture dictionaries, and so much more. Next.
Okay, and I'll take a chance, take the opportunity to say hi to Neve Torres, who is also following us in the stream and in the chat wing, chatwing.com/VANCESTEV. And there are two other viewers. I believe they're Maha and Elizabeth Ann. So we can welcome to everybody. And also in these transitions between slides, if you want to say something, just unmute yourself and grab the mic. By the way, Benjamin wants to tell us about spanning in a minute. So we'll let Crystal continue, and then Chris, and then Benjamin, pop in when you feel like it.
Okay. Can you go to the next slide, please? Okay. So here, this kind of stuff is really exciting. When it comes to reading, we can actually identify in Google Chrome, we can go and identify texts on appropriate reading levels by doing a Google search. So almost every conceivable reading text is now available online or on the internet. And I love, you can pick texts by difficulty of the text. And this is also, of course, good for native speakers of English, but particularly for English language learners, it gives you another little clue about what texts are mostly appropriate. And the students can use that, too, for finding additional texts themselves. Next. Voice notes are a very great new way of using Google Documents, in which teachers can add voice notes to papers and annotations, make annotations to students' work and so forth. And of course, with voice notes, we add the whole level of listening and speaking to it, and students can use it too. And here's a source where you can read more about it. Next.
On that note, did you know you could leave voice comments if you're using a tablet or an iPad? You can make comments using the voice feature in an Android device or something like that. That's really cool.
And my daughter has a non-iPhone or non-iDevice, but I don't. And I'm always amazed about stuff that she can do that I cannot do with my Apple materials. Do you have an Android too, Vince?
Sorry, having trouble unmuting. Sorry, do I have a what?
Do you have a device which is not an Apple device, like an Android or something?
Well, yeah, I've got I have an Android phone, and I can, but the one I use, I guess, iPad most often with my students because they all have them. So, but we do a lot of voice work. It's very handy, but especially you mentioned the voice notes. I don't know about that. I'll check it out. But just if you're in a Google Doc and you want to leave a comment, you can use the voice keyboard tool to leave that comment that way. In fact, you can speak to the students and leave a comment, exactly what you said, in their Google Doc while you're standing right next to them, if you like.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice language class tool to use for, you know, just putting them on notice and see how much they get, you know. All right, so there's like a visual guide for teachers what to do with iPads. In Google, with Google tools, and it's an infographic, and just more of the same of what we talked about before, just in a visual form. Next. There's Google apps that you can use, like the Google Search app, of course, Chrome app, and Gmail app, and there's like a little guide that I put the link up that what every teacher should know, Google apps for every teacher. So you may want to click that and see which ones may be useful for your particular learning and teaching environment and see which one work. I just so love Chrome because I can let the students speak the searches into Google Chrome, and then of course if their pronunciation is not good enough, it will not execute the search correctly. And so it's a wonderful assessment tool, you know, to see if they pronounce something appropriately for language class. Of course, you know, for us foreigners speaking English, you know, it is a good tool for me too, to see if my English is good enough too. Can we go to the next slide, please? Google Drive apps are related to Google Drive, Google Docs, Google Sheets, and Google Slides. When you get the PowerPoint, you can click each one of them, which is a link that gets you to a number of apps that you can try out and see which ones would work for your particular context. This is kind of a collection of them. All right, next. Of course, all the students love social media, and they love emulating or mimicking social media. And a lot of us here in the United States are really concerned with privacy laws. I don't know how much privacy laws play into your activities in your other countries, but in Germany, it's not very important for schools, I can say that. But here in America, people are really hyper about protecting students' privacy, and you can get in, even into prison, really, if you violate that. So finding places to use with your students that mimic social media while they protect are really important. And you know, some of them in Google are more protected, such as Google Plus. You can make a circle only for your students, or you can use Hangouts only with your students, like we do today. And if allowed, you can use Blogger with your students to start them on blogs. A lot of these places are really safe, especially you know, since you control who can access them and not. So I really like that feature about Google products. Next. Next.
Sorry. Click.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Did something happen with my connection? Oh. Yeah, I can hear you. Uh-huh. Yeah, for a while, a minute, I couldn't. But
yeah,
is this the right one?
Yeah, it is. So another really great great tool is Google Maps and Google Earth. Of course, for language classes in particular, we're really interested in the geography and traveling in or to the other countries. And of course, with Google Maps, we can even do activities with our students, such as following directions and finding places, do like a treasure hunt and all kinds of stuff. We can look at real addresses. We can look at real houses. And we have something else just opening up here. Yes, there we go back. And this is really great for kids to, or all learners, really, all ages, to have a real-life application. And I think I really like to do treasure hunts with the students where they have to find certain places following certain directions. And you can use Google Maps and, you know, Google Earth for that. Multimedia apps. I have to yet find a kid that doesn't love all kinds of multimedia stuff. I mean, kids love anything that's animated and where music and movies and all kinds of stuff are accessed. Of course, they love YouTube, and I think every teacher should have a YouTube channel, honestly, to put stuff out for class, and if they make it private, you know, it can also include work by students. TeacherTube, of course. Google Play Books, Google Play Music, and Google Currents. And all of these are highly multimedia using apps, and students just completely dig them. As I said, you know, I really think that every teacher should have a YouTube channel, and even encourage students to do YouTube videos, and kids love to make videos. And it's such a great way of keeping stock of their learning progress over time, especially when it includes listening and speaking. They can really see such a difference in their ability, and it makes them so proud over time. Next, please. Photography apps. Kids really like to do photography, digital storytelling, and so forth. Here are two items that you can use in Google. And, you know, just see which ones the kids like, you know, making digital stories, telling the story of their family. And depending on what vocabulary you do and what level you do, they can do a photo story at home about the topics and make own their learning and construct their own learning. Or even make photos of vocabulary if you do this. And so you can share them in different ways in Google. Next. Google Translate. of course, as we all know, is a tool that needs to be taken a little bit with a grain of salt. Sometimes it works for short phrases, but in many cases it's falling short still. What a miraculous thing a human brain is, that it can translate from one language to another. And even with all of our technology, we have not found a likely abled technology tool that can do the same as a human brain can do. But Google Voice is a great tool also for accessibility. Chromecast, Google Administrator, and Google Authenticator are great tools to use with language learners. Next, please. Can we go to the next?
Yeah, I have. You might be getting a little lag because your voice is coming in and out. I think it's going to be fine on the recording.
Okay.
Okay, about reading comprehension?
Yes, yes. Reading comprehension, of course, is one of our big areas in language studies. A lot of language classes are very heavy on reading and reading comprehension. And for younger learners and older learners alike, you know, picture dictionaries are wonderful ways of learning vocabulary if we anchor it while looking at a picture of the item or the concept. Talking dictionaries are wonderful. I also think it's great to share it at home with the family and with siblings, what they have learned, and showing them the pictures. Here's a little instruction on how to do that. Of course, the application Read and Write is a wonderful text-to-speech tool that can read documents aloud, and students can really test their listening skills, listening to read and write text to speech. What's the word I'm looking for? When it's playing, they can see if they can actually understand the text. So what I really like is that they have different voices and playback speeds. Because, like everybody, when somebody learns a language, it always feels that language is too fast, and they can slow this down. And that's a really wonderful tool to, especially for those students who have a slower learning pace, and they can just really hone in and spend some time on playing back and playing back and playing back until they get it. So here are some accessibility tips on the bottom that you can read up if you want to use this. Thank you. Next.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's actually, I'm on two computers. One of them has gone to the next slide, and this one here has not. So let me just see if I can force it. Hang on a minute. Okay, I'm back on the previous slide. Let's see, going to the next one. Unless for some reason it's not in the Hangout. Let's see if slide 28 is not coming on. Slide 29. I'm on slide 29 on my shared computer here. And it appears to be in the Hangout. Oh, here we go.
That's
the wrong one. Yeah, you went slide.
I got the right one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a big.
I'm sorry. There's a lag between my next.
I'm a big fan of pictures. Even with my adult graduate students, I use a lot of pictures in our classes. Even when I write something to my English speakers. People love images because an image can express more than 1,000 words. And if students can find a good image to express something that we would say with words. Otherwise, you know, that's also a very, very good comprehension tool. We can add images to Google Documents and Forms. Here's a step-for-step instruction sheet on how to do this. I think we should really all add pictures to our learning documents for students and make them interesting. You know, so many times when our learners see textbooks and materials, the pictures are old and outdated. And with our fast-paced world, I think there's no reason why we should not have updated pictures on there. But that's just a personal thing, because I really like to link with the learners' experience of the world and where they are in order to get the maximum learning. And if we have old materials, that oftentimes doesn't work for the learning output. Okay, next please, number 29.
I'm really sorry about that. Let's advance on this other computer over here. But it doesn't seem to want to.
Okay. I think I got the culture slide. Do we have that?
Yes, it's displaying on my computer now. On my second computer. It should appear on yours shortly.
Okay. Clearly, having direct personal contacts with other cultures in L1 is the ultimate wonderful thing for language learners. And of course, what we're doing here right now is using the tool that's perfectly suited for that, Google Hangout. And I found an article in Educators Technology, Easy Ways to Create Google Hangouts, and hopefully this is useful for some viewers. They are safe, they are private, and they're just limited by time differences that sometimes can be a little bit difficult, but I think if you are able to find a class or a group of learners in an English-speaking country, they would probably be really interested too to talking with the other students. My daughter, when she studied French in her middle school, every semester they had one actual Google Hangout conference with a group in France, and it was amazing to them, and the kids just loved it and were talking about it for a long time. So I really think that's one thing teachers should definitely do, especially when you have like also English studies for professionals, for English for specific purposes studies. You know, linking up with a group of professionals that is in the same field will be so useful and make it all real. Vance, I lost this slide presentation, and I just see your still picture on the screen now. I think Vance got kicked out. I'm just going to ask, can anybody hear me, or hello?
Yeah, it sounds fine here.
Benjamin?
Yes.
I'm just going to go on my own computer without showing you the... Okay, I'm just going to go on without you seeing the slides, because Vince is not here. And
I think I'm back now. We seem to have had a bomb at my end. That's probably good, because this was getting very laggy. And so now that it's back up, then and it looks like the call is still being recorded, so that's good. So give me a second. I'll resume the screen share. I just need to join on my other computer. It looks like I'm already here, actually, but anyway, you're already there. Take me there. Okay. Yes, I am. Okay. So now then, if I find your, I do a screen share here.
So while we're looking this up, I'm going to continue talking so we don't lose that much time.
Share that.
We talked about Google Hangout, and I'm going to go to slide number 30. Collaboration and staying in touch is really important for teachers. I think that Google tools offer a great opportunity for putting lesson plans out, class newsletters, activities, or even student work samples, and thank you. And collaborating with families and colleagues, you know, to get the most out of the time in the classroom. Next, please. Authentic communication, as I said, you know, communicating directly.
Yeah, a little bit of a lag.
Communicating directly with people in other countries, getting students connected with other school classes, first maybe with a Hangout, and then also maybe exchanging actual emails with kids and or adult learners, it doesn't matter, you know, and connecting with real people. I cannot tell you how many requests I get every day, really, from people all over the world that say, I would like to stay in touch. Would you be able to support me? I want to learn English. Can I write with you? And people really use this all the time to check on their ability to communicate, particularly more older learners, the upper secondary level and adult learners. Next, please. So while he's getting the slide up, I'm already starting to talk about it. I love this idea of back channeling while we're teaching, back channeling and exit tickets. I actually did this last weekend. We had the Kentucky TESOL conference, and I gave two sessions, and I did a back channel for my attendees, in which I gave them a Google document in which they could jot down ideas, questions, and thoughts they had as I was presenting my presentations. And then later on, I was collecting those and got back with people if they wanted to. But it's a really cool tool, that, especially if you use this in learning. When you are teaching a certain topic, let's say about literature particularly, or content language piece in math or whatever, and you have a back channel to your class, then you're really able to connect with your students to collect their challenges, their questions they have, or sometimes even the deep thoughts, and maybe identify areas that need to be still worked on with students. So for my back channeling, I got some people's ideas. And some of them had some ideas that I could add to my knowledge base, and also some questions that they raised, and I got back with them. And Vince, I'm going to see your whole desktop right now here, and not just the presentation. So the back channeling idea I also developed on the same slide that you see here would be actually the next slide. Number 33, I'm talking about exit tickets. Exit tickets are really cool items that we use here in America, and I'm sure in other countries too, to just give students a very quick check on what they take away from the class. So exit tickets allow students just a little bit of time for of reflection. They can also share if they need any additional support. They don't get something yet. they communicate directly with the teacher and can give the teacher help to differentiate the support for a certain student if they don't get something. So exit tickets are something that we do in class right before students leave the classroom to take stock of what they take away from the class. And I'm ready to go to slide 34, please. Well, in my presentation embedded, I have a video on back channeling and exit slips that you can add, look at, and it's on slide 34. I'm going to go to slide 35, to assessments, and utilizing Google can cut down tremendously on our grading time. You can create quizzes that grade themselves automatically, and I give you a link to how to do that. There's step-by-step directions, and they're really great. Even if you have an online classroom for your class, you can embed this into your classroom to give students a very quick self-check on how well they did and if they need to relearn something. It's all about removing barriers to learning to students. I'm going to go to slide 36 now. You can also create report cards with Google Documents, and there's a report card template in the Google Drives, and I give you instructions on how to create those. And I think I lost Vince again. I'm going to continue my presentation because you're going to have the slides later and can look over them to get all the resources from there. On slide 37, I am talking about ways of using Google tools to publish something. And Vince, we're on 37 now, slide 37. And there's a powerful presentation tool in Google to easily create and share slideshows. And they are just like PowerPoint, only on the cloud. And students, what's nice about it is that students can collaborate on creating them while not even having to be in the same room. So that's on slide 37. And I'm going to slide 38 now. And slide 38 talks about.
Am I connected? No.
I can see Vince, but he cannot hear me, I think. Class newspapers are a great way of getting students engaged in writing and also staying connected with families, especially if they pay a lot of tuition. You want them to see what the kids are doing in class. So I give you a newspaper template for Google Documents that you can use to create really professionally looking newspapers. Meeting native speakers in a newly released classroom tool by Google is another link that I give you on slide 39. And on slide 40, I'm talking about using Google to teach English with content language. I'm not sure about the people that are listening to this today, if you are teaching English for the language itself or embedded in content areas, but if you do teach it embedded in content areas, I gave you a link that will allow you to use Google for that purpose too. Google, on slide 41, I'm giving you an example of how you can make math symbols in Google Documents. Some people may not know that, but there's actually a tool that you can use to actually make math symbols in Google. I'm on page 42 now on talking about how to do academic writing using Google. and citing papers and academic articles. There is a Google tool that they provide you here with that makes you do annotations and references and collects them so you can appropriately cite and write academic papers using references the right way. So Google also has a search term modifier tool where you can learn how to do the best searches on Google Chrome or in the Google search engine. Hi, Vance, I can hear you. And I give you a tool for that too. Of course, anybody who likes to do more advanced searches should use Google Scholar, and I give you a link to that. I find that Google Scholar is almost as good as any of my library silver platter researches, and I find pretty much the same results on Google Scholar, which is really amazing. So here's a link to that. Also, here's a Prezi about for teachers how to use Google in the next slide. I am now on slide 46, and in it I talk about how Google can be used to meet up with other educators to be better prepared. Thank you. I got the right slide on the screen now. So there's infographic here for you with a resource where you can go. I think sharing with other educators is wonderful. That's what we're doing here today. And I think that people across the world facing the same problems in teaching certain stuff in English. And instead of reinventing the wheel, it's much better to get in touch with somebody who has the same issue that they're facing and find a solution together or share something that works really well. So building that professional learning community is really easy with Google tools. Next slide, please. Google Educator Group is a project launched not too long ago. This links schools, classrooms, and communities around the world together to, like I said, you know, to build the professional learning communities. And there's a link for accessing this. It's a very cool way. Of course, we're here because we already have such a professional learning group, but there's also other ones you may want to look into, especially if you want to, if you have an interest particularly in certain grammar issue or whatever you're interested in or whatever you are specialized in teaching, there's a group for that for sure. So let's move to the next slide.
Maha has a question about exit ticket. She wants to know, is it a written reflection?
It could be anything, Maha. It could be a spoken or a written one. You can use handheld devices and ask the students to speak something in there. You know, give a little spoken report, 1 minute about what they learned during the day. Or to have a little written one, you can have a Google form in which they answer questions, yes and no. It totally depends on what you want to know, what the students take away from the class. I like to do those even with presentations that I do to ask people real quick what they take away from it. And I usually prepare a Google form ahead of time in which they input their information. So whatever it would be, you can also do it orally. Okay? So we can go to the next slide.
I think I'm there. Free downloadable guide.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's a full guide. It's a pretty substantial piece on Google for Schools must read. which gives you a lot of more of the same of these all these areas of use in schools. So I hope that I compiled so many resources for you that it's hard not to do all of them. Can you go to the next, please?
I've gone there on my other computer. No telling what's happening.
Yeah.
There seems to be a bit of a... Have you got it?
Uh-huh. So,
oh, there it is. Uh-huh.
Also, lately, I'm meeting more and more people who are taking their English teaching to the next level. I do most of my service of sharing for free because I have a job. And so I do this as a service, but a lot of people are depending on income making, and English is their skill that they use to make a living. So Google Hangout is also something entrepreneurs can use to actually charge for services to explicitly teach people in their skills, personally or in groups, and there's a source for teaching online how to do that and make money with it for those of you who are interested in it. As I said, you know, I do my training for others as a service, but that may not be everybody's luxury to do. So here's a chance of making some money. Next. So the yellow does not come out really well here on this, but here's my email that you can use in order to get in touch with me. I have a very active community of practice on my ESL or ELT blog, a technology blog, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And it's a pretty large community, 179 countries participate. And I'm always interested in great ideas. If you have something that I haven't mentioned that I forgot to mention, I would love to hear about it. And I hope that that some of the links or information is useful to you in your work with kids or adults. As I said, you know, the main thing is to use technology to overcome barriers to learning. Whatever makes students more successful and you more successful, really, is a perfect use for technology. And anytime we don't use technology where we could, it's sad that we don't reach the full potential. So I'm encouraging everybody to try to take advantage of the full range of tools already available to us for free. So I'm ready to take some questions or comments.
Thank you. Technical problems I had. Looks like.
Hello.
Hi, Halima.
Please, but I have a question.
Yeah, it went great from the.
Crystal, are you a certified Google trainer?
No, I want to be. How do I do that?
What can I say? It is a good webinar, of course, good. But if we take into account that we in advance learn and study all your slides, maybe not strictly to follow all the slides, but new some events, like I was deeply surprised by this document of Nella Müller. I would like to create the chain of webinars of Hangouts as Webathon for Uzbeki teachers in the ESP and EAP area. How is it created? I don't know. Would you see this link and explain me? Because this is timely connected as chain, then they are connected due the topic, due the content. It seems this is a 1 year, so to say, training. It is good for me, but I have a problems. Maybe could you explain me in private letter or in my we have a good site, Uzbek Educators, and many people would like to know how to make things like Nele Müller also is making. See, also it is her young learner trainers. It is, and you this I was yesterday in the training. She used different educational platforms, and Adobe Connect and Vizik and others. But all things are like change. How she made that? Oh, it's a cat, Vance. It's your friend, cat.
Did you say cat?
No, I see that in that picture it was a cat of Mr. Vance. No, I am asking you.
Yeah.
I was here for you. Yeah. How to make change of webinars, of hangouts, being like one webathon in one university, dedicated only to issues of ESP and English for academic purposes. Nele created for young learners.
Vance, I had trouble. The volume went in and out.
Me on the screen, I posted the link for you.
Okay.
Group chat.
I have. You posted the link to the Vance webinar.
Okay. Then I write you a letter, okay?
Yeah, communicate okay. A little bit.
But it's basically
time.
It's.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's Nelly Deutsch's. IATEFL YLT SIG page, just a way of creating a document that
yesterday's webinar, Vance, and your webinar, they're like a chain in one webinar monitoring by Nelly. It was good made. I would like to create like this. It's one university trainings on ESP, and every week one training. And Google Plus also that like you do, but it must be created in duration for 1 year. How she make this? I don't know. All things are very, very interesting, Dr. Crystal. Thank you for your time.
Are you talking about how to link something with the document?
Yes.
You create links, you embed links in the document. I have my resume, my CV, and my syllabi all built like this.
These are personal things, but she has many presenters from abroad. All people are following strictly one topic, young learners. And every week she has training, and time is defined, and like webathon. It is a very interesting idea. Maybe I write your letter to you, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Danke sehr für Ihre interessante Repräsentation. Oh, Glenny Hansen.
Okay. I don't know how much we want to. Let me just mute you for a minute there, Helena, so we don't get that Okay, let's see. Sorry about that, but we were getting a little bit of an echo. So anyhow, I don't know how long I want to stretch my luck here with having these two things running. Maybe I'll exit from the slideshow over here. But I'd really like to thank Crystal for coming online. I'm really sorry about the problems. We'll see how it looks on the recording. There is a period where you won't have your slides, but at least I know you were describing them, and we seem to have picked it up in most places. But we have a lot of people in the chat wing who've been interacting with us, giving us very positive feedback. And let's see, Neve is making comments there.
Yeah, the main thing is that everybody needs to get access to the actual PowerPoint so they can access the links.
And by the way, those links are in learningtogether.com. It'll be at learningtogether.net, and I've put the link to the PowerPoint in both the chat wing and in the Hangout chat. So
yeah.
some people have been following there.
Okay.
And
I've got my email if anybody has anything specific to add or complain about or any. Anything, yeah. You know how to get in touch. But thank you, Vince, for inviting me. I'm always tickled pink about how we were able to get people together using this medium and sharing. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you for participating. Glynis has an open mic. Maybe she'd like to say something to the parting.
Yes, just to say thank you very much for all these links. I hope I have time to look at them.
Well, you know, if you only look at some of them, they are kind of repetitive, you know. I kind of scaffolded the links in the presentation.
Okay.
So.
I'm hearing a lot of, because it could be just be at my end. I suspect it is. Anyway, well, Chris, this has been Crystal Brody telling us, and already are in fact, you can go to the event page, links are there. So, certainly appreciate your taking the time to share with us, and that was a
and really maybe
good presentation. I mean, things comprehensive.
Maybe I see you at the TESOL Arabia in March.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll probably be there. I usually am.
I'm going to be there too.
Oh, great. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. This is the 12th of October still. And in many parts of the world, and this is Learning Together. And by the way, the year is 2015. I always put that in the recording. I think recordings need to be time stamped. So thank you very much, Crystal. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.